south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. Before we get into our usual stuff today, I was made aware of the fact more than once that if you go to the www.thenewexpat.com website and click on Johnny's July 2016 seminar at the top of the page, if you decide to pay with PayPal, when you click the buttons, you'll sometimes be directed to a PayPal page in English and sometimes one that's in Spanish. That's all right. They'll both work, but since I have to assume that most people's Spanish sucks, if the page comes up in Spanish, just go to the upper left-hand corner where it says Language Preferences and click English and you're back in business. A little clarification there. So the way to sign up for my July 2016 Expat Insider Seminar being held in and around Guatemala, just go to www.thenewexpat.com. Click on Johnny's 2016 seminar link at the top of the page, and you'll get all the information and sign-up details. And don't forget to check out and sign up for John Galt's pre- and post-seminar trips, too. They're highly recommended by me, and I just might tag along myself if John Galt comps me the hotel room. We'll see. Hey, now here's something for all you expat wannabes and gonna-bes thinking of putting a business down here in Latin America or bringing your business down if it happens to be on the net or convertible into Spanish to grab Latin customers. Just listen up because this could save you thousands and untold amounts of grief. So today we have another boots on the ground, true to life expat business story that will help you if you need to hire educated upscale Latin employees. More importantly, you'll get some tips on how not to be a clueless gringo when starting a business. Now, today's story comes from the mouth of a new expat who came down to one of my previous Expat Insider seminars. Well, needless to say, he liked it so much, he's down here permanently now, well settled in, and he's transferred his successful internet business from the States. He says, it's really no trouble at all for him to service his first world clients from Latin America. As far as they know, he's still located somewhere up in the first world because his operation hasn't skipped a beat. The only thing that's changed, he said, is the way he does banking. It's all offshore now and out from under the bony, greedy, malignant finger of Uncle Sam. And now he wants to further develop his business model and market his software products to Latin customers. Now, if you remember, I said in past shows, only about 15 to 20% of Latin adults have internet 24/7. So there's huge room for expansion and growth, and he sees that. Now, those figures are for the general public. However, medium and large-sized businesses are on the net and have a presence because that's just the way things are these days. So anyway, I got a call from my new friend about a month ago, and he said, hey, Johnny, I need a favor. But before he laid it on me, he went into a diatribe saying, Johnny, you know, my internet business is doing just fine, but there's a huge untapped Latin market out there, and what I want to do is hire a bilingual sales and marketing person that can set up a Spanish language website, market the software, get the word out to Latin businesses, maybe create a Spanish blog and a quarterly newsletter, pretty much create a new branch of the company to service Latin clients exclusively. By the way, right now, this guy's only got one other full-time employee. Anyway, I said, it sounds really good, but what's that favor you want from me? And he said, well, the problem, you know, is my Spanish absolutely sucks, so this person's going to have to be 100% bilingual, not to mention I need him to be from around here and with a business and marketing degree, hopefully. Then I said, you'd be surprised, there are a lot of qualified people like that down here, smart people with business and marketing degrees who never get a chance to work in their own fields. So they work anywhere they can. They have to eat, you know. I've met a few myself, driving UPS trucks, working behind counters at hardware stores or waitress jobs at Starbucks. Then he paused for a second, kind of gave me a weird look like I was BSing him and just kept rambling on. He said, Johnny, I'm writing up a to-do list for this new person and a complete job description for both me and that person because I've never hired someone like that before. This is all new to me. So we left it at that. Then about a week later, he called me back and said, Johnny, remember I asked you for a favor? Well, guess what? I found a bilingual person I think would be perfect for my marketing manager job. She sent me a nice thick resume. However, it's all in Spanish, and I was wondering if you could look it over and give me your opinion. By the way, in Spanish, a resume is a resumen. R-E-S-U-M-E-N. Way too easy, huh? So he sent it on over to me, and yes, it was a pretty thorough resume. Turns out this 31-year-old divorced lady with no kids had, over the past few years, worked at three different medium-sized corporations in Central America, two of them in Salvador, one company in Panama. But one thing really stuck out. Get this, she went to high school in Texas. Which got me wondering, how'd that happen? How'd she end up back down in Central America after being up in the States during her high school years? Now, looking over her resume and the photos attached, she was a tall, light-skinned, attractive, bottle blonde, straight-haired Latina. Definitely not lower or middle class. In fact, her resume had all the telltale signs of a privileged, upscale child of the rich. A bachelor's degree from an upscale private university in Latin America, in industrial engineering, no less. Gotta give her kudos for that. Even in the States, very few women go into that field. However, do note, down here in Latin America, it could be almost impossible to prove she really graduated. That's one of the problems with resumes and diplomas down here. Okay, so she had an IE degree listed on her resume, but not only that, a master's in business administration and marketing. Oh, and here's another thing. You almost never see a middle-class or lower-middle-class person with an MBA here in Latin America. Sure, they're pumping them out like they are in the States. But most of them never, ever get a job in their field unless daddy owns the company or the family's got what you call cuello, which means connections, you know, nepotism, pull, favoritism. In Spanish, nepotismo, favoritismo, conexiones. God, if only all English-Spanish translations were that easy, huh? So now you might be thinking, what's this crap about MBAs in Latin America? Doesn't everyone know by now they're a completely useless waste of time and money? Well, with a good dose of first world lag time, it's all the rage down here now, and you find billboards and newspaper ads all over the place with universities advertising useless MBA courses. So, just like up in the States, if you have a business administration degree and you can't get a job, which is pretty normal, you waste another couple of years and go for an MBA, right? And note, I'm not picking on all you dummies who have MBAs out there. I stupidly picked one up too, but that was back in the 80s when the perception was they actually had some value. Wrong again. Oh well. So then, most of these Latin kids with business degrees can't see working the counter at Office Depot or a hardware store for $300 or $400 a month, so they sign up for weekend MBA classes. Yes, few people know that probably 95% of all MBA degrees received in Latin America were obtained at night school or weekend school. Yes, in Latin America, weekend universities are all the rage. And, surprise, surprise, just like in the States, an MBA is the natural progression for a person with a business degree who's slogging away as assistant manager in the fishing tackle department at Target. However, down here, it's different for the children of the rich, who right out of school end up with an executive job in daddy's company. You know how that goes. Oh, and by the way, it's been estimated that a full 70% of all bachelor's degrees earned in Latin America are obtained on Saturdays and Sundays, because nearly all Latin universities offer weekend university plans. That goes for MBA programs, too. So then why do universities offer those plans on weekends? Well, because there's a big demand. Down here in Latin America, where there is no social safety net, no welfare, etc., nor are there student loans. That means 70% or more of people who go to university have to work day jobs. Crummy day jobs. But I digress. Where was I? Oh, yeah. So this lady with an industrial engineering degree and an MBA has worked in marketing and management in three medium-sized companies in Latin America. And of course, she's got references for each place she worked at, too. That said, let me give you a few pertinent tips about resumes and references in Latin America. Now, you've heard me and many people in blogs and reports say that in many ways, including social ways, Latin America is much different than up in the States and in the first world in general. Starting with the fact that people are friendlier, nicer, happier, less judgmental, less assertive, and less aggressive, more cooperative, and unwilling to rock the boat. And thus, much less likely to tell you the truth when faced with writing an evaluation report or giving a personal reference. That said, Latins hate to say anything bad at all about their fellow workers or employees, which is why most Latins can come up with good, even sterling, work references. In fact, expat Eddie tells me, and remember, he owns a string of restaurants. He says there have been a few times when he's fired employees instantly when he's caught them red-handed stealing. Yet, when they come back a week or two later for that final check, they'll actually ask him for a written recommendation and job reference. In fact, one of the guys he fired told him that a job reference from a gringo boss is worth 10 references from a Latin one. How about that? Talk about the gringo advantage. Of course, Eddie laughs and says, "You steal from me and want a reference? Sure, I'll write a reference and I'll stuff it right up your..." Well, something to do with mother, anyway. You get the idea. But they're dead serious and seem upset when he won't write a reference for them. Only in Latin America, huh? Doesn't quite make sense, does it? Now, I bet if you were down here and could read a little Spanish, you'd probably do what I do. Check out the want ads in the local papers once in a while. You know, the help wanted ads in Latin papers sometimes make you laugh till you cry. Anyway, every so often, you'll see in the help wanted section a person's face, along with his national ID number, formerly called a cédula. It's almost always a guy, by the way. When you see that, it's definitely not a help wanted ad. It's just the opposite. It's an ad that's been put in by a company to tell everyone that this guy, their former employee, is a thief and he's stolen unused company receipts. So don't do business with him. If he tries to sell you something, he'll give you a receipt that's been stolen from us. Now think about it. If you could run such an ad in the paper up in Cleveland saying that a former employee, one you fired, is a thief, wouldn't that be great? Now that would mark a thief with a scarlet letter forever, right? But up in the States, he'd be able to get a lawyer and sue your ass, and you probably wouldn't have a company anymore. But down here in Latin America, if you want, you can plaster a bad employee's face all over the newspapers. You come down here, get some boots on the ground, learn a little Spanish, and you'll see what I mean. So then, why am I bringing this up? Because you see, expat Eddie, who actually belongs to the Rotary Club in Salvador, yeah, they have one, so he knows a lot of Latin American businessmen personally. Well, he's met a few that have put ads like that in the paper because their employees have stolen unused receipts and were going around to existing clients, taking orders for goods, getting deposits, and stealing the money. And believe it or not, even though Eddie says some of these guys have been ripped off in that way, they still will write letters of recommendation for these jerks just to get rid of them. Because, you see, Latin businessmen, especially the ones who have their businesses and offices in bad areas, are afraid of some kind of revenge later. In fact, Eddie told me the story of one of these businessmen who said an employee of his who was a thief actually brought back a book of stolen receipts and wanted to trade them in exchange for getting his old job back. Now, the guy wouldn't hire him, but he ended up giving him a glowing letter of recommendation. So bottom line, if you get a resume, disregard any glowing letters of recommendation that are attached, and they will be attached, believe me. Fact is, nearly every cleaning lady you've caught stealing from you will ask for a letter of recommendation when you fire her, too. Why? Because it's customary for a Latin boss to write one just to get rid of her. Now, these days, Eddie says, when he hires someone other than just a busboy, he asks on the bottom of the application form, right near where they sign their name, if they'd be willing to take a lie detector test, a polygraph test. Called, oddly enough, in Spanish, examen de poligrafo. Yep, yet another dead easy translation, huh? Eddie says that's the third best question you could ask on an application form. And the second best question, have you ever stolen anything from work? And if so, what was it? And according to Eddie, the best question to ask by far? Have you ever been fired from a job before? And if so, why? And Eddie says, have those three questions right before the one that says, are you willing to take a polygraph test? Now, Eddie says, since he's had those three questions on his application forms, quite a few applicants, almost all guys, by the way, will ask for another clean form because they made a mistake on the first one. When, by the way, like I mentioned a long time ago in an expat file show, there's a great business for a gringo. A mobile gringo polygraph service. Just buy yourself a cheap polygraph machine on Craigslist, download one of those polygraph courses specific to that machine, or even take a polygraph course or two in the States and get that diploma. And market yourself to medium-sized businesses that have 5 to maybe 50 employees. You offer to do the existing employees and the incoming new employees too. By the way, you should know that Latins are scared to death of polygraph machines. In fact, Eddie says some of them on the day of the polygraph just won't show up and you'll never see them again. By the way, there are many ways to beat a polygraph machine. Go ahead, check the internet. People sell books on how to do it. Now, what most seasoned polygraphers will tell you if that's a real word, and no, it has nothing to do with Mormons, at least I think not. Anyway, in order to get good results with the machine, the person being tested must believe the apparatus is accurate. And all those hundreds of TV cop shows have certainly accomplished that. Which brings me back to that bilingual marketing lady's resume. So anyway, it's in Spanish and I'm reading through it. At first glance, it was very impressive. Why wouldn't it be? She went to what I found out was an elite Texas high school. I checked it out on the web. Another sign, she was a child of wealthy Latin parents. I mean, come on, you really have to have dough to send your kids to a private high school up in the States. Okay, so then I got back with my buddy who sent me the resume and I said, hey, how'd you find this person anyway? He said, oh, you know, I joined this new gym. And then he told me the name of it. And I said, you know, that's the most expensive gym in the country. That's all you got is high-rolling gringo wannabes with bodyguards in the parking lot, etc. And I said, yeah, so you joined an expensive gym. So then what? He said, you know, the second I walked into the place, I had that gringo advantage going. Since as far as I can tell, there are no other gringos that belong to that gym. So everyone is extremely welcoming, and they all wanted to speak to me in their broken English, tell me about their trips and connections to the States and all that. You know, just small talk and such. And one of the ladies that came up and spoke to me said she went to school in the States, was a marketing major, etc. And I thought, maybe she's the perfect person for the job. Bilingual, attractive, etc., etc. And he said, Johnny, what do you think? You check the resume out. What's next? I said, you know, since you can never check out the references, they'll all be sterling. And the company she worked for, well, you'll never know if they were good or bad, but you can bet they were run in a Latin way, meaning short on the details, because they are Latin companies, not transnationals. Not to mention, you'll have to take her word on how she left the company or got fired or had a parting of the ways, whatever. And by the way, if she's going to be your kind of bilingual coordinator, you're going to lean on her for both things in English and Spanish, she's going to have to write a perfect business letter because you know how gringos are. If there's one error, one typo, we instantly make a judgment and think that person's kind of sloppy or incompetent and it goes in the round file. And you know, that too is part of our gringo advantage because Latins don't view business letters or any letters at all in English or Spanish that way. There are almost always some typos or grammatical errors. And Latins, they just tolerate it or overlook it completely. That's when my friend said, Johnny, I think I know where you're going with this. I should tell her to write this resume out in English. And I said, yeah, but that's not all. She can do that at home and spell check it and all that, and it probably will be perfect. But you have to know what her writing skills are, too. So here's what I suggest you do. Have her come in for an interview, and you have her write a 2- or 3-page, kind of a short personal biography slash history. That way you'll have a really good idea what her English writing skills are. And it'll be on the fly, so she won't be able to screw with it or edit it like she could if you gave it like a homework assignment. Then I said, by the way, I noticed she hasn't had a job for the last year. Her resume stops at about a year ago. Then he said, oh yeah, they moved here from El Salvador and she's looking for a job. She's living with her parents now. She's divorced with no kids. And I said, so that's why she's not working and still can afford to go to the most expensive gym in the country. She's living with mommy and daddy who've got the dough. And by expensive, I mean around 40 bucks a month. Then I asked the all-important question, what's he willing to pay for a job like that? I said, you know, it's always best to ask them what they want to get. He said, I did, and she wants $4,000 US a month. And I paused for a second. I said, what? $4,000 a month? Are you serious? That's what she said? Give it to me. I'll take that job. Man, has she got you spotted out as a clueless frickin' gringo with money. Then I said, think of it. A girl who's living with her parents, hasn't had a job for over a year, has the right credentials, apparently. You find her at the most expensive health club in the whole country, so obviously she's high maintenance. Suddenly, she runs into the only gringo at the health club. His Spanish sucks, and he needs a bilingual marketing manager. Then she says, with a straight face, too, $4,000 a month. Well, in my book, she's poison. Now, if she wasn't out to take advantage of you, the clueless gringo, she'd take $1,000 a month for, let's say, 6 months, and then we'll talk about raises from there. Then I said to my friend, listen very carefully. No Latins make $4,000 a month here unless their daddy owns the company, or they started their own company from scratch and worked it into a pretty big deal. Then I asked him, what was his reply to $4,000 a month? Well, he said, that's pretty cheap compared to first world prices, probably half of what I'd pay up there. I said, see, that's what happens to a lot of gringos. It looks good compared to salaries up in the States, but man, do Do you realize you could get 4, maybe 5 experienced marketing managers with advanced degrees for that kind of money? Oh, and speaking of hungry, you'll want someone hungry. Down here in Latin America, when you're born with a silver spoon in your mouth and you got a huge lifetime safety net, they don't know what it's like to be hungry. They've never had to work their tails off like someone who had to hold a job and go to school and bust a nut to survive and then crawl their way up in the world. Now, I'm not saying she's not a hard worker, but chances are, well, chances are. So, what are some of the lessons we can learn from this story? Well, number one, you don't want to let on that you're a gringo, not right away. So, you put out the word in classified one, as in local newspapers, and of course on OLX.com, which is basically the Latin American Craigslist. You write the ad in English and Spanish, you have them send you the resume in English and Spanish, and you ask them what salary they're looking for. Oh, and by the way, I told my friend, if I was in your shoes and someone popped that $4,000 a month figure in my face, I'd say, sorry, but the job only pays $1,000 a month, and there'll be a 3-month probationary period. And I'll just bet she'll pause a while and then say, I can start Monday. Bottom line, there's a big oversupply of business majors and MBAs and people in MBA programs here in Latin America, and 95% of them are working crap jobs. And yes, I know that must sound like a huge contradiction, considering that only about 2 to 3% of Latin Americans have a bachelor's degree, as opposed to 40% of adults up in the first world who have one. Wow. And probably only 1 in about 1,000 has a master's degree. So then you might ask, how could there be a huge oversupply? Well, it's simply a case, like in the States, of people taking the easy way out. Business degrees are easy to get, with a lot of time for a university social life, while science degrees are tough, with little or no leisure time for a social life. Not to mention, young adults are sucked in by the hype put out by the universities themselves, who make it seem through their billboard and newspaper ads that an MBA is a ticket to a first world style life. Well, tell that to the over 10,000 MBA holders who've been laid off from Wall Street in the last couple of years. Hey, if I owned a McDonald's and I needed an extra person to run my deep fryer, I'd probably pick the guy with the business degree or the MBA. I mean, hell, 95% of people graduating with those degrees never get a job in that field anyway. In fact, you might remember a story I told some time ago when I selected an architect to build a house. I picked a guy who graduated a few years earlier, number 2 in his architecture class. Would you believe during that 2 years he graduated, and when I caught up with him, he hadn't built anything, nor had he been hired by any architecture firm. Instead, he was selling CDs in the classified section of the local newspaper. I mean, you gotta eat, right? And nope, they weren't pirated versions either. He was selling the Bible on CD, and as far as I know, the copyright ran out around 2,000 years ago, though I could be wrong. Okay, now changing gears a bit. If you remember on the last show, I gave you some very good reasons why I don't recommend living or investing in Mexico. However, there are a lot of good cheap vacation packages, so you can have a lot of fun there. Now, I figured after that I'd get some emails from people living in Mexico saying that I was full of mierda. And I did. In fact, I got a couple of emails from Acapulco saying how great it is there. By the way, that's the home of Jeff Berwick. You know, the guy that runs that Anarchapulco convention once a year? And he publishes the Dollar Vigilante newsletter. That I really like. Anyway, after I got those emails from happy expats living in Acapulco, turns out they're eating their words right now because a very sad news article came out about 2 days later. Let me paraphrase here. The Pacific city of Acapulco remained gripped by fear Tuesday, with thousands of businesses and many schools shut down, following the city's latest round of bloodshed as the city slips downward from storied vacation paradise to Mexico's number one murder capital. It goes on to say the governor of the state pleaded for a return to normalcy after Sunday night's attack by drug gangs on police stations and hotels. The attacks were apparently reprisals for the arrest Saturday of Freddy de Valle, alias El Burro, head of a local drug cartel. It goes on to say, prolonged gunfire across the city transformed several blocks into war zones and left residents in a state of shock. City streets, including beachfront roads, were largely deserted amid fears of more violence. Esmeralda Rios, a waitress at the famous El Fagón restaurant, says, we haven't had any business for days. The few tourists who have stayed don't want to leave their hotels. Then it says, the slow decline of Acapulco has been underway for at least a decade, as the city has become more and more important as a cocaine transportation center at the port. The drugs, of course, destined for the U.S. It says, with 903 murders last year, some of them beheadings, that's more murders per capita than any other Mexican city. Acapulco had 111 killings for every 100,000 people. That's more than double the rate in the deadliest U.S. city, that's St. Louis. I thought the deadliest U.S. city was New Orleans. Oh well. The violence stands in sharp contrast to the reputation forged more than a half century ago when the city was a playground for international film stars, including Brigitte Bardot, Elizabeth Taylor, Errol Flynn, John Wayne, and its glamour was the backdrop for Fun in Acapulco, a 1963 Elvis movie. Boy, did that movie suck. This attention helped establish Acapulco as a top destination for American tourists, including honeymooners Bill and Hillary Clinton in 1975. Gee, I hope that weekend they locked up all the underage women. That said, Mexican lawyer Samuel Gonzalez says, drug traffickers have enjoyed virtual impunity since they've infiltrated state and local governments. Acapulco is in constant crisis. As far as this week's violence, it says, gunfire echoed through the city for 20 minutes as people strolling along the beachfronts and roadways ran for cover and restaurant customers hid under their tables in fear. 10 minutes later, gunmen attacked the federal police station in the middle of a tourist zone. Okay, now get this. It says on Tuesday, 3,800 businesses in the city remain closed, according to the local Chamber of Commerce. They will stay that way until the government restores order, says Alejandro Martinez Sidney, the group's president and owner of a restaurant in the city. Meanwhile, business owners are accusing government officials of abandoning them to the narco traffickers. Then it says, the hotel occupancy rate in Acapulco has been falling year over year, and during this month's Holy Week, the highest season, it was down 21% from last year. And since the attacks this weekend, cancellations have been pouring in, with only 20% of the rooms occupied in the city. And on the tourist front, Laura Caballero Rodriguez, president of the Acapulco Store Owners Association, said that at least 350 stores have closed this year. She said, the violence in Acapulco is just terrible, a situation we cannot tolerate anymore. Meanwhile, hundreds of stores that are still open don't know if they'll be in business next year. Still want to move and invest there? Okay, we're near the end now, so I'd just like to say, don't forget to go to my YouTube channel to see the pictures that go along with the audio. Do subscribe. It's free.
South of the border.
You've been listening to The Expat Files, living in Latin America, coming to you twice a week from somewhere south of the border. Email me, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want me to help you sort out your own Latin American plans, schedule a one-on-one consult with me, just send an email and let me know at theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos!